Amen. This morning, I want to open with a word that is like a spring flower blooming. And I guess the spring flower blooming outside where I live is this big bougainvillea bush. Have you seen those? And oh my goodness, are they blooming. Big red blooms. It's beautiful. So think of a spring flower blooming. And the word that I have in mind is amazing. If you just stop for a minute and think about flowers and the blooms, the joy they bring as well to people's lives, it's just amazing. The dictionary definition of the word amazing means causing great surprise or wonder or astonishment. Don't ever be afraid to give someone some flowers because it's simply amazing, isn't it? I recently became a grandpa in my young age to a beautiful little girl named Elena Grace over in Texas. Amazing, isn't it? Many of you know the feeling. Amazing, that life that was in the womb for 9 months that developed and grew, and then boom, life is right there. It's just amazing. The creation of God. The wonder of life is amazing. Think of yourself for a moment and go back way back then. You were that little baby once, huh? Oh, yes, we're older now. That small baby, now look at you, all grown up with wisdom and the experience of life, certainly. And young people, don't hesitate to ask older folks that have been around the block a little bit for any wisdom and advice. It's always good because they've been through it. They know. I was going through one thing, some experience, some event in my life once, and one of the ladies in the congregation, elderly lady, said, "Pastor, you just got to remember this. This too shall pass." I mean, great words. I mean, it just stills you for a moment. So those are great words of advice. Amazing. In nature, there are amazing things as well. When I was pastoring churches in Oregon in the Northwest District of the Missouri Synod, there would be times that I would go fishing on some of the incredible rivers up there, the McKenzie River by Eugene, the Rogue River near Rogue Valley, and I would catch what they called the kokanee salmon, very tasty fish. Oh, I loved it. But did you know that salmon have this inbred radar, this system that leads them to the exact place they know where to go, where they were born to spawn. They know exactly, and they travel, they fight, they face tribulation to get there as they have to go against the current, right? Against the current to get there. That radar that God made, science can't explain it. There's a word out there that science has all the answers. I don't think so. Science cannot explain that. It is the power of God. Just like science, how does science explain the soul? Wow. Interesting, huh? Amazing. In the field of medicine, there are amazing things as well. Ever heard of Ibrance? Ibrance is one of those great inhibitor drugs. Over there in La Jolla in the biomedical industry, there's a company, you can see it almost right across from the golf course. It says inhibitor or something. They're developing drugs that inhibit these invasive cancer cells and other things that get into the body. It's amazing, and these are saving people's lives from the effects of cancer. Not all cancers are there yet, but some. And this amazing inhibitor drugs, as I know some people on them, they surround the cancer cells. It's incredible. Like ants, you put a piece of candy on one of those big red ant farms, the hold you put, and all of a sudden, right, they come running. Oh, sweet, sugar. And they cover the whole thing. That's what these inhibitor drugs do. Amazing. Thank God for that advancement in medicine. These inhibitor drugs. Many people are alive today because those drugs have saved them. All one has to do is look around, and there are some very amazing things in life. And as a Christian in this season of Easter, I would also say amazing is a good word to describe God's accomplished work for all humanity of all times and places in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something so spectacular and important that it impacts where you and I will spend eternity when we breathe our last and we leave this world. Jesus' death on the cross for all our sins, as all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And the wages also of sin is what? Is death. All people die. Jesus' death on the cross for all our sins and his subsequent resurrection 3 days later stand as a pillar of truth that there is more to life than simply the here and the now. There is more to life than just spiritual existence, dear friends. We see that in our reading from Acts. What was it? The angel. Wow, angels watching over us, right? Angels are out there. There's more to life than just the physical. In a society such as ours is today, where there's a growing sense of meaninglessness, of nihilism, where there is a sense of nothing matters but self and the here and now, and however you want to interpret yourself is up to you. Christianity offers life-saving meaning and purpose. Christianity offers stability. Christianity offers forgiveness of sins from shame and guilt. Christianity offers hope that there are better things. Christianity offers power for living. Christianity offers prayer and dependence on one greater than me and you, the great Creator God. People all over the world and all through the centuries have confessed allegiance to Jesus and Christianity, and they've been changed forever because of it. I was looking for someone's changed life, and Amy Grant came to mind. I've been looking at guideposts a lot lately. Lots of real-life stories in Guidepost magazine, if you just want to pull it up on your phone. Evidently, in 2019, her husband went to the doctor, Vince Gill, for a checkup or whatever it was, and he's all checked out, and all of a sudden the doctor turned to Amy and said, we need to check you. Wow. She got checked out and found out she had a heart defect. Wow, but she says God brought her through it. They had to, open her up, fix the heart. She's all better. She was wondering why her breathing had diminished a little bit, she said, when she was singing. God took care of it. Amazing, isn't it? Just incredible how lives are changed. She could depend upon God. She trusted God to guide her, the surgeons, etc., and to bring her through it, and God did. Think about the resurrection, its power and impact. It makes Christianity simply amazing beyond amazing, as it is the only religion in the world where its leader died and what came back to life. The only one, folks. Mary, what was the word she heard? Oh, he is not here. Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? The tomb is empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a real fact of history. There is amazing evidence all around, and not only for the death and resurrection, but for all of Christianity as it is rooted in history and evidence. Our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, who saves us from sin, death, and the devil, was born in the real place Bethlehem during the reign of Caesar Augustus and put to death, as we say in the Creed, by Pontius Pilate, a first century Roman governor. Testimony pertaining to the person Jesus Christ, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection is all validated by real and credible witnesses, both those on the side of Jesus who were in the arena and also by those outside looking in who may not have been a fan of Jesus. One of those who writes of this amazing Jesus at the time, if you want to research this more, was Josephus around the first century. In his book of Antiquities is a description of the condemnation and crucifixion of Jesus at the hands of the Roman authorities. Josephus was one of those out here looking in. It's amazing how God works his will and purposes, even through unbelievers. Evidence for those on the side of Jesus can be found over the 1,500 years of history of insight and prophecy from numerous writers in the 66 books of the Bible, with some 40 different writers of different times and places in history that foretell in prophecy and reveal God's truths for humanity. That reading that our brother read from Revelation this morning is one of those prophecies, is one of those revelations about the almighty work and power of God and how that goes on and on until the end, as he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. 1,500 years, and many writers have an amazing blend and continuity for the whole story of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This whole book, from cover to cover, flows in revealing the plan of God and God's truths to the world. There is no other religion in the world that can make such a claim. None. The Bible covers history and the truth of God over that some 1,500 years as written with God's help by some 40 different authors. As we know that someone just didn't just sit down and write an essay, but others were moved along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled them by the power of God to record exactly what God wanted recorded in this holy, sacred book. We have writers, we know them. Who are some writers of Scripture? We have the five books of Moses. We have David, Psalms, Isaiah, right? You know them. John in the New Testament, Paul, so many others, all moved along by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. It's also amazing that of all the religions of the world, only Jesus Christ claimed to be God in human flesh. No other religion has a leader that claims that. In Mark 14, the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And what did Jesus say? These first two words he starts with, he says, "I am." Where did you hear those words before? Remember the calling of Moses? Moses says, "Oh God, I don't know what to say. I'm going to go to these people. Who should I say is sending me?" And what did God say? "I am. I am sending you." Jesus, being God, says, "I am." And he says, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Beautiful, amazing in terms of the power of God. In Luther's Table Talk, Martin Luther, the church reformer, the great Christian pastor, he says this in terms of this: "The communion or fellowship of our blessed Savior Christ was doubtless most loving and familiar, for he who thought it no dishonor, being equal with God, to be made man like us, yet without sin, served and waited upon his disciples as they sat at table. The good disciples, plain, simple people, were at length so accustomed to it that they were even content to let him wait. In such wise did Christ fulfill his office, as it is written in the Bible, 'He came to minister, not to be ministered to.' It's a high example that he so deeply humbled himself and suffered, who created the whole world, heaven and earth and all that is, and who with one finger could have turned it upside down and destroyed it. But in love for us, in love for people, we live in that time of amazing grace that we may come to believe in God, that we may worship him and be saved before the end." At Rome, there was a church called Pantheon where there were many effigies of the gods, like Zeus or Mars or others. The Caesars even had their statues in there. All these gods you could go in and you could see and worship. The devil loved the sight and laughed at all the false gods that would lead people astray. There are many false gods out there today leading people astray. But there, when Christ came, they could not endure him. For Jesus, the right, holy, true God and man, threw all those idols into the wind. Because they're just idols. There's nothing there. But Jesus is the real true God. Such is our resurrected Christ. He is all-powerful. Nothing hinders him or stops him. And he says to us in his word, he says to us with him, with God, all things are possible. You may be in an impossible situation right now, but look to God, because with God, all things are possible. He will see you through. And then Thomas, in today's gospel, is evidence of that power of Jesus at work in the world. Jesus is concerned about his disciples. He comes alongside of them, each and every one of them, just like he's concerned about us. He tells us, don't be anxious or worrisome about anything, but by all what? Prayer and petition. The petitions, the needs. With thanksgiving, don't forget to give thanks to God. Let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God can handle it. And so Jesus is there handling this situation with Thomas, who's having a tough time. His faith is shaky. He isn't sure what to do. And then what does the resurrected Jesus do? In love, in concern, in empathy for Thomas, he appears to him and he answers his questions. He helps guide him, like we help guide and mentor one another in the faith, encouraging one another, helping one another. The text, as we read it, Thomas wasn't with the disciples that first time Jesus came. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with him. The doors were locked. Jesus, in his resurrected body, could travel through space and time. Jesus says, peace be with you. Why did he say that? The disciples were just in awe and they were just lost. Where did our Savior go? He was our leader. Jesus comes and says, hey guys, peace be with you. And then I visualize this, he looks straight to Thomas. Thomas, put your fingers in my hands. Thomas, touch my side. It's me, I'm real. And then he says, stop doubting and believe. Believe it. And then Thomas makes that great confession of faith, which was what? My Lord and my God. Praise God for that. For God so loved the world, Thomas, you, me, and all of us, that he gave his one and only Son, that what? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The judgment comes later. Love, grace, and mercy is now. And so do you believe? Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior? If so, then God bless you as you continue to live as his faithful one, as you continue to live in relationship to him and your brothers, your Christian brothers and sisters. If you have doubts or want to be saved from sin, from death, from hell, from the devil and his attacks, if you want new life with Jesus and the hope and joy of glory, then respond today like Thomas, standing before Jesus, who said, my Lord and my God. It's real. It's amazing. It's not myth or legend. It's not made up. Jesus is real. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With your mouth you confess, with your heart you believe. There is faith taking hold of what God has done for you. If you have doubts, if you want to be saved, if you want to make a profession of Christian faith, maybe then do so today. If you said you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time today, or even if you want to renew your faith in him because maybe your faith has been weak, maybe you've had that moment of doubting Thomas, it's got to be something more. Then if you profess Jesus, if you come close to him, then tell Pastor Dave, tell myself or another believer here today, as then we can walk in faith with you as we grow together, as we live to the glory of God. God bless you in faith. God bless you in the resurrected, present Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shares those words, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray. Oh Lord God, thank you for this word of scripture, Lord, the word about Thomas, Lord, about your appearance from being dead, Lord. You came back to life, defeating everything, Lord. Nothing is impossible with you. We thank you for showing there is victory in death. We thank you for showing your power, your authority over all things. May we, Lord, who live on this side, who live in relationship with you, Lord, feel that power. May we be your salt, your light in our homes, in our communities, Lord, as we share the joy of Easter, the joy of resurrection each and every day, knowing that you're with us, that you guide us, that you love us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.